close to the start of the season. Can you believe it? We are roughly 1 month away. I want to start off shouting out all our PHL patrons. Next Sunday night, we're giving away the Ja'Marr Chase uniform. So sign up now for the PHL Patreon. You also would have had early access to me, one of my favorite film studies I have done this entire season. Okay, it was Michael Van Buren. So we'll talk about that, a few things that I learned, a few things I loved, a few things I think that he needs to work on. But, you know, for me, I just like watching him play the quarterback position. I know I have said that quite a few times throughout the offseason, but you see that despite him having some mobility, he enjoys the nuances of the quarterback position. He loves going through reads, going through progressions, all of that, what a lot of people consider to be nonsense. He loves it all. He loves it all. And despite being diminutive in nature, I've just always loved that word, diminutive. I always cheer for shorter quarterbacks because I myself am short. I also cheer for three-star recruits. Michael Van Buren was kind of a middle-tier, four-star, three-star, whatever. I really do think he could be something. Now, I was in Oxford this weekend. It was awesome. Awesome. I think every single SEC city is what you make it, right? And obviously, it's also where your friends are looking at. A friend get married this weekend, so I went to the wedding. It's kind of weird because our main partner, sponsor, whatever you want to call it on PHL, is actually a wedding company, the Zion 360 Spin Booth Experience. And we're taking in more partnerships with Fast Draft. If you want to team up with us, feel free to do so at PowerHourLSU on social media or send me an email, PowerHourLSU@gmail.com. But it's weird because I myself am a wedding DJ in my other life, and it's fun to actually just go to a wedding. And there were so many Ole Miss fans there. And I was chatting with them there. I walked around the Grove area, walked around downtown Oxford. And it's interesting how many fans of Ole Miss really think there will be no drop-off. And I'm not just talking about like rosy, posy, positive Ole Miss fans. They really believe there is going to be no drop-off from what to me was by far their most talented team ever. And I do think if Ole Miss would have made the college football playoff, they would have been the team outside of Oregon, who obviously got blown out the second time they played Ohio State, but they beat them earlier in the year. I think Ole Miss was a team that could have gone toe-to-toe with Ohio State. Obviously, Alabama would have given them a game. South Carolina, I think, would have given them a better game than some of these other playoff teams. I've said what I've said about Tennessee in the past, but I just don't think, even though everybody in Oxford was so kind, I only met one Ole Miss fan that said, yes, we're probably a 7-5 team. I do think, though, it is so fascinating in that Week 5 game, because you look at that game and you say to yourself, Ole Miss is probably going to be undefeated, and LSU has two tougher games earlier in that schedule. LSU has got to play Clemson. LSU has got to play Florida in those first couple of weeks. So if you were to ask me who wins, I would say LSU would go to Oxford and win that Week 5 game. Obviously, we'll talk more about that as time draws closer. But I would also tell you that Ole Miss is a team that will be undefeated, more than likely. Whereas LSU is more likely to have a loss going into that game. So does that help or hurt LSU? I don't know. Ole Miss's schedule is somewhat backloaded, even though their final game is versus Mississippi State. But, you know, for me, You see the poll question up? Outside of Clemson, outside of Alabama, who do you think will be LSU's toughest road game this year? And I do think the answer to that, well, the trickiest is Vanderbilt. Many would say that's the easiest. I think that's the trickiest. LSU does not have a gimme road game this year, which sucks. It really, really, really does suck. Okay? Now, we get to Gino. He says the OU game is definitely a trap game on the schedule. You know, normally a trap game is one that's kind of trapped between multiple games. Whereas this game is not trapped, it's kind of sort of there at the end. Kind of sort of a rivalry week game now, but not really. I do have like this sick feeling though that LSU is going to have two losses going into that Oklahoma game, and you're going to be playing a road, essentially playoff game versus to me will be a solid Oklahoma team. I also want to say this about Oklahoma. I feel way more comfortable that LSU will have a better floor outcome this year than Oklahoma. And what I mean by that is I could easily see the bottom falling out of this current iteration of the Oklahoma Sooners. I could see them just completely flatline. I could see it. And maybe it's just me seeing. But I like John Mateer. I like Jay Knott. I am just not that big of a Brent Venables guy as a head coach. Now, as a defensive coordinator, obviously he's one of the best to ever do it. But I could easily see Oklahoma and all of that just falling apart. Now, before we get into Michael Van Buren and the film study we did earlier tonight, I do express my condolences. This morning when I was leaving, I stayed at the Graduate in Oxford, phenomenal hotel, left there, and I was like, I'm going to go to Vaught. And whenever I'm in a college football town, I go take a picture in front of the stadium, and then I also try to go into the stadium because the likelihood of me getting to go to LSU versus Ole Miss later this year is not that high at the time being, right? It's just hard to logistically make it work when your busiest weekends are college football weekends. So any content creator, it's always harder to go to the games than it is to not go to the games. It's kind of counterintuitive. You would think it's the other way around, but it's hard. Now, I go to Vaught Hemingway, and I took a photo in front of the stadium, drive around, and I just kind of walk towards the gate, and a lady just let me in. The gate opened up, and I got to go in there and take a photo. They were having like a soccer camp in there, and I was so happy to be there. I do not like Ole Miss. Ole Miss is one of the most hated teams for me in the SEC. But I have said plenty of times before that I'm a huge Lane Kiffin fan. And I do think it is hard to not put him in the top five SEC coaches right now. It is hard to not put him in that category. So a lot of respect. I was very lucky to get to go in there. I don't know if normally people are allowed to go in. I just got lucky that they were doing something there. And then ladies said, come on in. So I went in. Tried to stay out of everybody's way. So there you go. But, you know, I learned about the death of a former Louisiana recruit from Edna Carr High School, Corey Adams. And then I learned about it when I was leaving the stadium. So I hate that. Ed Nacar, obviously a great New Orleans program, and I really hate that for the team. I hate that for our New Orleans viewers, and yeah, it's a sad story. You never know when you're taking your last breath. You never know. Let's see here. Sibley says OU has fallen off since 2009. I just don't believe in Brent Venables. I'm sorry. I just can never get there with him. Okay. Christopher wants to know who's in my top five. Who are my top five coaches? Obviously, I'm going to take Brian Kelly out of it. It's not a cop-out. It's just, you know, of course, I'm going to put the guy from LSU in there. But I would say most would say BK is in that top five. I do think, though, if you were to compare the coaching job that Lane has done at a school like Ole Miss and what Brian Kelly has done at LSU, Brian Kelly's done a fine job at LSU. Lane Kiffin has done a fantastic job at Ole Miss. So I do think most would say Lane in recent years has done more at Ole Miss than Brian Kelly's done at LSU, even though BK has a winning record versus Lane Kiffin. So those two are really close. If you ask me, I do think Kirby, obviously most would put him number one. And then I would have Josh Heupel number two. That's how I would see it. Then, of course, many would say Kalen DeBoer with what he did at Washington. We'll see what he does at Alabama this year. Would be number three. And ironically, I'm actually going to go with Shane Beamer at number four. So that's how I see it for now. With all of that said, as much as I like all five of those coaches, I do think the coach most likely to win the next national championship in the SEC is Steve Sarkisian. I also think Steve is the best play caller in this conference. So I gave six names there. I think Sark would probably be number three for me behind Heupel. I'm a little bit higher on Heupel than most because I do think that Tennessee job is a little bit harder than people would like to think that it is, if that makes sense. Okay. Now, next thing I want to get into is some prep for Clemson. Just a little bit of prep. Because there's about to be so much heading your way. Okay? So, you know, the same talking points get hammered and just slammed right at you when it comes to these big games. And what happens is a lot of us consume LSU versus Clemson previews. So most LSU versus Clemson previews are going to feature four names. And what happens is when you listen to these podcasts, those big names sink into your subjective. And the four big names, Garrett Nussmeier for LSU, and there's three for Clemson. It's Cade Klubnik, obviously. And then, of course, there are two defensive linemen who are first-round picks, Peter Woods and TJ Parker. So those four names are the four names that are the most common in every LSU versus Clemson preview that you listen to and you read. Obviously, the quarterbacks are the headline. But TJ Parker, Peter Woods, absolute beast. But what happens is the coaches know that. The coaches know that those guys are their best players. So what do you have to do? Well, you work around that. You work around letting someone else on that team beat you. And this happened versus Florida State. Jared Verse was not the guy that killed us. He was not. Now, did he make a few splash plays in particular in 2022? Yes. But that's not what ultimately cost us those games versus Florida State. What happens, though, is in these big games, normally it's another defensive lineman who is able to take advantage of advantageous matchups because there is so much attention shifted towards the other defensive linemen that are on the field. So I want you to remember this name because I do think this guy is good. I also think Clemson, who is not transfer portal friendly, they bent those rules, obviously, this past year. Dabo is not a big fan of the transfer portal. He's a big fan of high school, old school recruiting. Most coaches are, but also most coaches have been more open to the portal. Defensive end Will Helt, the Purdue transfer, who had a lot of suitors, is a really good football player. And that guy, to me, will be the one that gives us the most trouble. Because as much as you might think that Joe Sloan and Brian Kelly could have better offensive schemes and play calling procedures and all of it, they're not going to let their big two defensive linemen come in and beat us. So Will is the one that's going to get the one-on-ones. And you've got to be ready for it. And I said tonight, I wanted to talk about this kid tonight because I do think he's good. And he very well could be the difference here in a few weeks. And that's a big problem for LSU, and LSU has this going in their favor as well, is that when you have multiple NFL-level guys at one position group, and you could put all those guys on the field at the same time, it's very hard to deal with. You know, LSU has to go up against Clemson's wide receivers. They have a lot of good wide receivers. A lot. Moore, Williams, Wesco. Three will be on the field at all times. So the same is to be said about Clemson's defensive line. They've got two super-duper stars on that defensive line. But Will Helt, the transfer, is a good player too. Now, here's the thing. And it's just very important. I'm looking at each and every one of you right now. LSU has an answer. I do feel Clemson, if you pay attention, they went through a relatively weak schedule last year. And on top of that, you can run the football on them. It is very doable. It's not something that you necessarily need to worry about. Because if you could run the football, it negates their pass rush, opens up play action. It can really do wonders for you. So keep that in mind, obviously, as we move closer to the game, that, yes, you are very worried about LSU's offensive line, but the Caden Durham show might be cooking in week one. So there you go. Coming up right after this, where is the one weakness on LSU's schedule, if there is any? Obviously, we're talking mostly about Ole Miss. Yeah, I'm trying to mix up not just it being Clemson chatter, but I also want to talk about a potential weakness on LSU's schedule. But at the same time, I want to get back into a few extra things I noticed when watching Michael Van Buren. Okay, it's all coming up, baby. It's PHL. Let's go.
Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go.
Let's go.
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com.
Alrighty, so I want to clear up a few things from the Van Buren film study, but
the first thing is I am addicted to SEC shirts. You see on the thumbnail, it's my back of, and you can see the back of this shirt. It's kind of stupid for me to stand up and show it to you, but it's all the SEC stadiums on the shirt. And what was so much fun about the Van Buren film review is I'm just like, man, I was reminiscing of LSU versus Georgia in Athens when it was the QB duel between Zach Mettenberger and Aaron Murray. Now, think about how long ago that was. It's insane. And I was thinking about that because Michael Van Buren played really well versus Georgia. Now, some of it was, you know, kind of, it was a blowout. But he honestly did some really high-level things. And I want to do a Van Buren film study on the Georgia game. But one thing that was so fascinating to me is I've gone on this crusade about a 9-game conference schedule. Part of why I want 9 so bad with 3 permanents is you would be going, if you do the rotating game thing of all the other 6 teams, you would be going to Athens once every 4 years. Now think about how long ago Zach Mettenberger and Aaron Murray was. And that was the last time LSU played Georgia in Athens. Now, really think about that. And I understand college football games are scarce, but you're in a conference where you don't visit another team in your conference home stadium only once every 12 years in an 8-game conference schedule.
Now, obviously, they said they're going to mix a few things up if you were to remain at 8. I don't know. But whatever the case may be, a 9-game conference schedule would get LSU and Georgia playing each other a lot more often and at each other's home stadiums. But I digress. Now, before we get to some more of your comments, let me share a few other things from Michael Van Buren that I really, really, really like. So last year in particular, Garrett Nussmeier had some issues throwing the goal ball in particular down the sideline. Every quarterback has issues with that. And whether or not you want to believe it, deeper throws are hard. Overthrows happen. Also, the thing about a shorter pattern is on a goal ball, especially on a double move or something like that, the pace of the receiver can change, right? The receiver, and it's hard because you have a camera angle that's so tight to the field. One thing that you miss on underthrows or overthrows is that the ball, while it's in flight, the receiver might have stopped for a second or looked back the other way for whatever reason. There's a lot of things you don't see, and you don't really know how it's coached and all of that. So I say all of that because Michael Van Buren throws such a beautiful deep ball. And that's what really, really, really shocked me is how good his deep ball is. It's borderline spectacular, if we're being honest. And the thing about it that was very interesting is, and this will get better with time, hopefully, because processing is a tough thing to predict. But a lot of the balls that he fit into windows were thrown with such perfect pace that even when he was staring receivers down and really locking in on it, the ball would be so perfectly thrown, it didn't matter. He throws the ball with really good pace as well. Now, I'm not talking about velocity. This is more of a soccer term than it is a football term. But a guy like David Beckham, if you will, was known for the weight. That's what the Europeans called it. The weight of his passes. It wasn't that he would fire a ball in for an assist or curve a free kick in. It was how well he weighted the pass. How far it was. Was it hard enough for the guy to just run onto it and strike it? And was it soft enough for it to be very catchable in a very tight environment? Michael Van Buren's weight on his throws are really, really, really good. And that's where Garrett really excels too. But God, I really enjoyed watching Michael Van Buren. I really, really did enjoy doing that film study to the point where I want to do another one. We'll see how this first one performs. But it really was fun. Now, what are the challenges now for MVP as he moves forward? Well, you do go to a new place. And after playing for a full year, you're going to a school where you are now the backup. So it sucks that you had this very weird experience. And now you got to sit the bench. But this could give him the opportunity to potentially redshirt. This could give him the opportunity to learn from Garrett Nussmeier, who possesses traits that Michael Van Buren must learn to take that next step as a passer. And honestly, like, I do think Van Buren, for the sake of his development, I do think sitting would do him some good because the game does happen so, so, so fast. And being on the sideline does help out some. Now, with most QBs in their development, I do prefer you just play, but he's already done that. He's already played, honestly, a tougher schedule than an Indiana quarterback will play his entire career. So it's a very good spot LSU is in. It's also a very good spot for Van Buren to be in even though he is a backup. Okay. Let's get to some of your comments. If you guys have any more MVP questions, feel free to fire them my way. And Sibley, who was at that game, Jaden Blue, I still remember that run. Joseph, I really appreciate your super chat last week. Let's go to Randy. Alex Atkins, a run game coordinator, will be massive. Having faced Clemson multiple times while at FSU, Atkins' counters, misdirection, and power will enable LSU to run at Clemson and quiet the crowd, I think. LOL. Yeah, so quick thing on the counter run scheme. We got deep into the counter run scheme with the Max Toscano live stream on Thursday. I even pulled up LSU's best counter run last year, which was John Emery versus USC. And you know, we broke down the nuances of why that play worked. You know, for me, as far as counter and what makes counter so damn good is counter to me can be run versus light boxes. I prefer to run counter versus light boxes. And there's different schools of thought. Obviously, all run plays, you would think you would prefer to run versus lighter boxes. I do think LSU will play quite a few light boxes this year. Because what most defensive coordinators are going to do, and I am, once again, I want this to be clear, I am not a sharp enough film study analyst that I'm giving info to Clemson that they don't know already. All right. But they're going to dare LSU to run the football. Because like what we said earlier about not letting TJ Parker beat us, Clemson's not going to let Garrett Nussmeier and Chris Hilton beat them with deep passes down the field. So they're going to say, look, we're going to play conservatively on defense. Let's see if you can run on us. So with that said, can you run counter versus Clemson? One thing about the counter run scheme is you don't need a mobile quarterback for it to be successful compared to an inside zone scheme where I do think the QB run game can be massive. With that said, the QB's rushing ability does help counter as well. Because while there has been a lot of hype, including for me, as far as Alex Atkins and this counter rush scheme, one thing he did a good job of, and it's obviously him and Mike Norvell, is their counter scheme was with Jordan Travis, and they had a good counter pull aspect built into it where Travis would pull and run for 7 or 8 at a given time. I do think Garrett's going to run more this year, and I do think he will run cautiously where you know, you run for 4 yards and you just fall down. The thing is, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. And I know I said this at the end of the Van Buren film study, but the most underrated play in football in the modern day is the QB draw. It is so underrated. Versus Texas, what did Georgia do? They ran QB draws. They ran QB draws. That's what they did. And it negated a lot of the Texas pass rush versus Gunnar Stockton. Michael Van Buren scored on a QB draw. So Garrett, the QB draw game, I would like it to be a part of what we are offensively. QB draw was big for us, obviously in 2019 in particular. It's been a big play for LSU historically. Let's go to Jalen. A few of the transfers had good games against Clemson as well. Who stood out to you, Jalen? as far as transfers on LSU's team. Okay. Now, before we get to see Rodgers, good to see you. Let's take a look at the poll question. Which non-Bama, non-Clemson road game scares you the most? LSU plays 5 road games this year. And right now, at Ole Miss is currently winning the poll. Yeah, see, Rodgers, it's wild. Ole Miss fans are drinking the Austin Simmons Kool-Aid. Now, here's what I'll say about Austin Simmons. He had one really, really, really good drive. What I would also say about Austin Simmons and the one really good drive, this is very anecdotal, but there are quite a few quarterbacks out there that do a lot better in a spot drive than you would think, even versus really good teams. Because that's a thing a lot of Ole Miss fans keep bringing up about Austin Simmons, and myself as well, because the Georgia drive, for those that don't know, Jackson Dart got hurt on the first drive versus Georgia, threw a pick, and Austin Simmons stepped in, drove them right down the field, scored, and Dart came right back into the game after that drive. Okay? So, there's a quarterback for Notre Dame named Steve Angeli who stepped in for Riley Leonard while he was hurt, had a good drive versus Penn State. So, it's not... And I was listening to... I don't remember the team. I was listening to a podcast that Bud Elliott did. He had a guest from a team who also stepped into a hostile. I think it was Georgia Tech. Yes, it was Georgia Tech. To win a big game for Georgia Tech versus Miami, he stepped in for Haynes King. And he drove him down there and won them the game. And it turned out he really wasn't that good. He started a few other games. So just because Austin Simmons had that one drive versus Georgia, it's not the be-all, end-all. I do think Austin Simmons is going to be fine. I do. But the crazy thing about it, Gunnar Stockton starts first year versus Georgia. Ty Simpson, first year starter in Alabama. There are so many people that are bullish on all these first-year starters in the SEC. How many of them are actually not going to be good? I mean, one of these guys has got to flop, right? At least one of them. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about last year's Clemson team, Jalen, but you are right. That was obviously one of Berrien's best games. Had a fumble later in that game as well, but he was phenomenal in that game. You are right. Let's go to Joseph here. Carter, we got this. We're going to beat Clemson. We got this. Okay. Jamie, good to see you. See Rodgers, I appreciate it. Tony, what's good, bro? All right. Here's what we're going to do. I am running on fumes. Crazy weekend in Oxford. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. All right. Our next live stream will be Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central. All our live streams will be at 6. I don't know what our Sunday live streams are going to be. Obviously, Sunday is kind of our film study day during the season. Let me know what you guys want to do. Because normally I like to air the film study Sunday nights at 6. So whatever you guys want to do, I am an open book. Jamie, welcome to the PHL Patreon. Welcome. Let's see. Shout out to Dustin the Diamond Poirier. What a career. One biased rant. Why is it whenever New Orleans hosts a sporting event that the buzz after the sporting event is when is the next one in New Orleans? You ever notice that? Sporting events in New Orleans are always awesome. Super Bowls, Final Fours, all of it. I would say NBA Finals, but we'll see. Joe Dumars era, let's go. But whatever the case may be, we know how to throw a party. We just do. And that's just always the talk. What is the next one? What is the next one? Let's go to Carter Peak. Good stuff. First off, welcome to the channel. Always good to have more Carters involved here. What pass versus rush percentage do we need to be successful? Obviously, that varies team to team. LSU was a pass-happy offense. I do think, though, the style in which LSU plays is not the simplest style of football, which is fine, right? We talked a lot about Lane Kiffin earlier. You see the thumbnail image, whatever. Lane makes things very simple for his offenses. We run a very pro-style type of system. And Brian Kelly even did a really good press conference on this midway through the season. And we spent a lot of time on it about layups, easy throws for Garrett. There's not – what Garrett has done is really impressive considering there's not a whole lot of screens, dump-offs kind of things that are built into the offense, right? So what I will tell you, Carter, is I'm not going to worry too much about the pass versus rush percentage. I do think people have a tendency to get too caught up in, yeah, we need to be 60-40 pass to run or whatever, 50-50. What I would tell you, though, is that last word is the most important part of this comment. And by the way, I'll show Carter some love in the chat. Make him feel welcome. It's successful. So there is a stat called success rate, which is how many times when you run a play, are you successful? And LSU was not a real successful offense. So, and I'm glad you brought this up, Carter. I'm actually going to pull this up, and we've used this stat a few times, but we've used 3rd-and-7 as the talking point. What if we were to stretch out the data to 3rd-and-9? All right, so Dan Orlovsky, let me go find this this tweet. Okay, I found it. And if you're listening to this via podcast, please give us a 5-star review. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst. He says, right now, Nuss is the best QB in all of college football. Here are two things I love about Nuss. Outstanding pocket management. 9% pressure to sack rate. And then he said, LSU on 3rd-and-9 had a 42% conversion rate last year. 3rd-and-9 plus 42% of the time. Now really think about that. Really think about how hard that is. That still blows my mind. It sounds like a 2019 LSU stat. Think about how hard it is to convert third and nine. The defense knows you're going to be throwing. And Garrett converted 42% of the time. Well, Garrett and the LSU offense. Now, this would be my question to you. Do you think LSU will have the same conversion rate on third and nine and longer? Maybe. But you don't want to be in third and nine and longer because it's hard to be consistently good in that spot. One thing that is left out of that third and nine conversion equation, two of those guys that converted a lot of those third and nines are gone. Kyren Lacy and, of course, Mason Taylor. Mason Taylor, in particular, was the third and fourth down converter for us. So, you know, one thing I'll say about Brian Kelly is you can point to a lot of things where he has fallen short, but on third and medium and long to gain, he has been very good. He is one of the more overrated things you can do on third and seven or longer is honestly throw. Running on third and seven is smart because it can manage you or set you up for a manageable fourth, and it's also going to be a box that is conducive for a good run. Caden Durham's first big touchdown versus South Carolina was a third and Ponchatoula, and they just handed it to Caden Durham, and he did his thing. Let's go to Sibley. He says, I like going into a home stadium and taking it over. I have a great feeling about Clemson. Great is a strong word. A very, very, very strong word. So there you go. Now, let's go to DA while we update the poll question. 59% Ole Miss. 59%. That's crazy. Let's go to DA. But in all SEC games, he had no less than two picks each game. He's more, well, I don't know if he had two picks each SEC game, but I get he does need to clean it up. I'm more than positive he will clean that up with the speedy receivers he has. We'll see. Yeah, it is crazy how fast LSU's receivers are going to be this year. This will be the fastest LSU wide receiver room ever. I do believe that. That means it's going to be the best. And it's not like it is just so much faster than all the other wide receiver rooms. Let's see here. Let's go to Sibley, dropping a super. He wants to keep it going. We have lost our openers in neutral sites. What is our record when we open on campus on opening day? An opener on an away campus has to be better than a neutral site. Yeah, I don't have those numbers in front of me, but more often than not, LSU in these difficult season openers, it's neutral sites, right? So Oregon in 2011, Dallas. Then you go to TCU. That game was also played in Dallas. Not on TCU's home field, though. Wisconsin was played Lambeau 1 year, Houston the other. I'm trying to think of the true home games. LSU and Washington. Remember that? 2010, LSU went to Washington and beat the brakes off of them. A tricky game in a beautiful stadium. So, yeah, I guess I would need to just go back and look this up if LSU has been better. I'll say this as a college football purist, and it might be showing my age. I do prefer these to be played on the campuses themselves. I understand it's harder to get to. But let's just see for season opener. So, that's kind of hard. My brain's kind of fried. I remember one year. I love the year in 2007 when LSU opened the season versus Mississippi State on a Thursday in Mississippi State. Shout out to Anthony Ianson. Signed his college deal. $1.75 million. Congrats, man. But yeah, I guess for me, Sibley, if we're gonna play these difficult season openers, let's play them on the campuses. What if we play Texas Tech? They called this out. I don't know why they picked us, but Joey McGuire and them want us to wants a business. Isn't that crazy? Steve Sarkisian was on the opposite sideline. Yeah, I'm a big Sark guy. I showed my love for Sark a little bit earlier. I had something crazy happen to me earlier today. So friend of the channel. I haven't responded to this. I saw this earlier, but yeah, I was traveling. Take a look at this. So Dave Shoemate tagged me in this tweet. Best player you have ever played with or against. And he tagged me with Jacob freaking Hester. All right. I am honored. I was a successful athlete. I played four sports growing up. AAU baseball. Loved that. I was a good athlete, but there's some. I don't know too much about Mike Gittens. I know of him. He's an Auburn guy. But, like, obviously Blake played college football. I did not play college football. And I don't know. I think Jake Crane played something somewhere. I am by far the least athletic guy on I might be the best soccer player of these, but probably not there. I am honored, though. So, like, it's weird. I kind of want to respond to this. Jacob Hester, Whitla, Danian Tomlinson, Peyton Manning against Patrick Willis. I've seen all three of these guys play live. Does that count? But I want to know on the field. I was honored, though, that Dave included me with those other talented media members. And yeah, but I wish. I freaking wish. But there you go. Now, that'll do it for me. Jamie, welcome to the Patreon. I'll be sending you a message on there pretty soon. And yeah, that'll be it. That'll do it for me. Now, if you haven't already, go watch the Michael Van Buren film study. I spent a lot of time on it. Over 30 plus minutes of beautiful footage of the potential future LSU quarterback. Big thanks to our partners, Fast Draft Fantasy. Sign up now. Promo code Carter for a deposit match bonus up to $50. Fast Draft Fantasy. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight. And we're doing some pulled pork nachos from Central Barbecue. Let's go. And shout out to our top super chatter, Mr. John Sibley. Let's go.